We're going to be looking at Mark 1, verses 14 to 45, but I want to start by getting you to use your imagination. I want you to imagine you're a fisherman or a woman, and you're sitting beside the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful day. It's not a cloud in the sky. The wind's no wind at all. It's crystal clear, the water, and you're fishing. You're throwing your nets out into the water. Then all of a sudden, you see this man. You've seen him before and you've heard about him. His name's Jesus, and he walks up to you and he says, "Come, follow me. Come, follow me." What do you do? What do you do? Do you get there and you maybe ask him, "Well, what is it you do, Jesus?" Or maybe you ask him, "What will my job description look like as a follower of you?" Or maybe ask him, "How much will I have to give up to follow you, Jesus?" Well, they're all good questions that us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that we have to struggle with and think through how much it is we have to give up to follow Jesus, what it means to live for him, what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And as we look at Mark 1, verses 14 to 45, we're going to see what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to be one of his disciples. And as we look at this section, we're going to see two things. We're going to see, firstly, that we're called to work, to be workers in his kingdom. And secondly, we're called to get our hands dirty. So we're called to be workers in his kingdom, and we're called to get our hands dirty. So what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus? Well, firstly, being a follower of Jesus means that we're called to be workers in his kingdom. We see this in verses 14 to 20, where it says, "After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. 'The time has come,' he said. 'The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news.'" See, John the Baptist, he was the one who was preparing the way for Jesus earlier. He's out of the way. And Jesus steps into the limelight and he tells us the good news of God. He tells us that the kingdom of God has come near. He tells us that God's kingdom and God's king are here. And he's come to free those who are captives, to correct injustice, and to bring peace to those who trust in him. He's come to fix our relationship with him. See, Jesus came so that everyone who has faith in him may enter into his kingdom and live with him forever. Hear that, our employer, the one we work for, is none other than the King of the universe. That's who we work for as Christians. We work for the King of the universe. So when we hear that Jesus is King of the universe, there's only one way we can respond. It's to repent and believe the good news. See, repent simply means we to stop walking away from God, doing our own things, setting up our own little kingdoms, and it's to turn back to God and to follow him wholeheartedly. So we need to repent, turn away from the things that we do, our own desires, and to turn back and follow God wholeheartedly. So I guess it'd be good to ask, what does it mean to follow God wholeheartedly? Well, we're told in verses 16 to 20, "As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I'll send you out to fish for people.' At once they left their nets and followed him. When he'd gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him." Jesus calls these men to come follow me. He calls them into a life of service as a part of his kingdom, as a response to what it is that he has done. He calls them to come and join in God's work of bringing people into God's kingdom. Now, I want you to notice three things about Jesus' call to follow him. Firstly, notice who it is that Jesus calls to follow him. He calls fishermen. Later on, we're told these fishermen are unschooled, ordinary men. See, it's interesting that Jesus would call unschooled, ordinary men, because he's just told us he's come to establish his kingdom. And, well, I think if I was Jesus, I would have probably been hanging out at the university, calling the really smart people, you know, the people who can get things done, who can get things organized. And I'd be hanging out at the Bible college, waiting for the gun preachers to come through and sort of say, hey, mate, you, come work with me. Come and evangelize the world and tell them about my kingdom. But not Jesus. Jesus calls fishermen to come follow me. He calls nobodies to come follow me. Now maybe you're sitting there today and you're thinking to yourself, God wouldn't want anything to do with me. I've done too many bad things that God wouldn't want anything to do with me. Well, Jesus himself says he didn't come to call the healthy to follow him. He came to call the sick. He came to call the broken, the blind, the captives to come follow him. See, he did this because he loves the world so much that he'd come and he'd die for us. And Jesus came to call us to follow him. So you might be sitting there thinking, I'm not good enough to follow Jesus. Well, Jesus says, come, follow me, and I'll make you good enough. Secondly, did you notice that Jesus calls with such authority that it demands a response? It demands that we be ready to leave everything and follow him unconditionally. For Peter and Andrew, it meant leaving their nets. For James and John, it meant leaving their father in their boat. See, to be a follower of Jesus means we follow him 24/7, full time, whatever we're doing and wherever we're doing it. When we're at work, we're followers of Jesus. When you're at home, you're followers of Jesus. When you're at sport, when you're hanging out with your mates, you're followers of Jesus. When you're in a room by yourself, you're a follower of Jesus. See, following Jesus is a full-time job. You don't turn up on Sunday and think, I'm going to follow Jesus, going to give him maybe an hour and a half, two on Sunday. The rest of the week, that's mine. No, following Jesus is a full-time job. Following Jesus means we give up everything to follow him. See, there's countless stories about missionaries who went overseas, who gave up everything to follow Jesus. It was said about them, they're the ones who went to Africa, China, and South America, that they packed all their belongings in a coffin, because in a coffin they would come home. See, following Jesus means we give up everything. But that's not easy. That's hard. Peter even knew this. Later on, he reminds Jesus, Jesus, we've given up everything to follow you. Well, when we're struggling to give up everything to follow Jesus, we need to continually come back to him and ask him to help us to be able to give up everything to follow him. See, Jesus just doesn't call us to give up everything. He shows us how to give up everything to follow him. And thirdly, did you notice what Jesus calls his followers to do? He calls them to be fishers of people. That simply means, as followers of Jesus, we're telling people about Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we're telling people that God has made a way for us to be right with him. As followers of Jesus, we're telling people the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. See, as followers of Jesus, we're fishermen and women as well. I'm not sure what the word is, but we're that as well. We're to be out there casting in the line, dangling the good news of Jesus in front of people and praying that God will help this person to grab a hold of that good news of Jesus, that they'll be hooked and that they will follow Jesus. But that's hard work as well. Sometimes we go and we share the good news with others, we get nothing. But who knows? You might be one person in that line that God is using to bring people into his kingdom. See, as God's followers, we're fishermen. We're out there fishing for God's people to call them into God's kingdom. As followers of Jesus, we're called to work for him and his kingdom, no matter where we are and no matter what we're doing. So secondly, do we see that being a follower of Jesus means that we get our hands dirty? Being a follower of Jesus is not a clean office job. It's a tradie job. It's a plumber. You're out there getting dirty. See, in verses 21 and 22, Jesus goes into Capernaum and he's teaching with authority. And then in verse 23, we see just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." this man's in bad shape. This man is under the reign of Satan's kingdom. And throughout the Old Testament, if anyone or anything is impure, they can't come near God. This person is in a hopeless place. Well, that's until he meets Jesus. See, when Jesus brings in the kingdom of God, nothing can stand in its way. When the kingdom of God breaks into history, the kingdom of Satan's broken down. And you see that all through the Gospel of Mark. You see time and time again, people being freed from slavery to Satan because Jesus has come and he's tied up the strong man. See, Jesus, he doesn't stand back from this person who's possessed by an impure spirit. He uses his authority to set this man free from Satan's kingdom. But he just doesn't use his authority to set people free from demons. He used his authority to heal the sick. In Mark 1, we have two specific stories of where Jesus does that. The first one is where he goes into the home and he sees Simon, who's also known as Peter, his mother-in-law. She's sick. And we're told in verses 29 to 31, as soon as they left the synagogue, so that's as soon as Jesus had healed this man who was possessed by an impure spirit, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. See, Jesus goes in, and he gets his hands dirty. He goes in, takes her by the hand, and helps her up. Immediately, she's healed. Evidence of that is she gets up, and she waits on them. The second story is in verses 40 to 45. It's where Jesus, he heals a leper. We're told a man with leprosy came with him and begged him on his knees. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed in lonely places. Yet his people still came to him from everywhere. This leper, he was a social outcast during that time. The reason why he was a social outcast is because way back in Leviticus chapter 13-14, God's people, they're on their way to the promised land, and God gives instructions about various skin diseases. He says that the priest is to go, and the priest is to look at the person with this skin disease, and the priest is to determine if it's an infectious disease. And if it is an infectious disease, he's to be labelled unclean. We're told that they're to wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkept, cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. See, this leper, he's desperate. And his desperation is shown because he breaks their law and he goes to Jesus and he begs him on his knees. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Well, Jesus reaches out and he touches the untouchable. He says, be clean. See, Jesus, he gets his hands dirty once again. He drove out the impure spirit. He healed Peter's mother-in-law and now he touches the untouchable. And he heals this leper. See, when Jesus says, come follow me, he shows us what that means. He shows us that we're to be out there getting our hands dirty because Jesus came and got his hands dirty as he reached out to people in his broken world. He gets in and he touches the sick. He cares for the needy and he welcomes the social outcast. See, Jesus, he doesn't lock himself away in a nice air-conditioned place where people are similar to himself, where people are well-groomed and who shower regularly and use deodorant, brush their teeth. No, Jesus gets out there where the social outcasts are. And when he's out there with them, he doesn't judge them. He shows pity to them. He shows mercy to them. And he shows love to them. See, Jesus sees how helpless they are, how desperate a position they are, and he reaches out to them. Now, as we look around at our homes and around the area, we see people who are in that position. People who are considered to be social outcasts. People who are captive to sin. People who are in desperate need of comfort from others. There was once a couple who saw Jesus' example of getting in there and getting their hands dirty, and they followed him. Their names were William and Catherine Booth. Now, William, he did a lot of street evangelism in England, and one night he was walking home, and he walked past these homeless boys and girls, these beggars, these prostitutes. I guess they're the people we'd consider to be the social outcasts, the nobodies, the people you'd have nothing to do with. And as William walked home that night, he dedicated himself, his wife, and his family to reaching out to the poor, the sick, the ugly, the diseased, those who stink, with the good news that Jesus came to be like them so that they could become like him. He got his hands dirty because he saw the love of Jesus and he followed Jesus' example. Well, William and Catherine went on to be the founders of the Salvation Army. And because the church of the day did not welcome in the social outcasts, they segregated themselves off from them. We don't want to have anything to do with them. William and Catherine Booth started the Salvation Army, which was a group of people who looked after these people, who cared for them. See, being a follower of Jesus means that we're called to be workers in his kingdom. That means we'd be going out there, getting our hands dirty as we share our good news of Jesus with a world that needs it. There was once a man who received a medallion for bravery at war. He was asked about the troops that he commanded, and he got there and said about the troops, "These troops, if you got there and you told them, get out of that ditch, past that mound, past the blockades and out there and fight the enemy, no chance. They wouldn't move." But he said, "If you got there and if you ran out of the ditch, past the mounds, past the blockades to fight the enemy, and you yelled, 'Follow me, boys,' you wouldn't have to look behind you because you know they'd be there." See, God's kingdom breaks into this world through the reign of Jesus. He calls us to be his followers, and he sets the example of what to follow. Jesus says to us, "Come, follow me." Jesus says to us, "Come, follow my example of loving his world." How about we'll pray? Dear God, thank you so much that Jesus has come and he is King. Thank you that your kingdom is breaking into this world, that it's setting captives free, that it's breaking down the barriers, that it's destroying Satan's kingdom. Thank you that that is true. And thank you that Jesus came to save us who were captives to Satan. Thank you that he came down and now he can reign in our lives. But we know so often as Jesus reigns in our life, we don't follow him the way that he requires. We ask that you will forgive us for the times when we do that. And we ask that you will help us to follow Jesus' example of what it means to be a follower of him. Thank you that he sets that example. And as we read through the Bible, we can see what it means to be a full-time worker of yours. We ask that you will help us to do that this week and for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.